Hello and welcome to another episode of the Two Bros Podcast. We are Two Bros. This is the Two Bros Podcast. Welcome, welcome. This is episode 95. Man, we're getting close to 100. And this is another installment of Getting Started With. Now, based on the title, you already know what this is about. But this is one of those things which is on, I think it's on everyone's bucket list. Along with, I want to say skydiving or bungee jumping or northern lights, scuba diving or deep sea diving is, I think it's on everyone's list. I don't know why, but it's just one of those things like people want to experience. And after having finished my, I think it's basic divers course, open water course, I can see why. Because it was such an experience. It was such a ride. And we'll get into it. And so those of you who know me and who've been following my stories, I've been on a trip for the last month now, I think, been on the road, and finally got to Pune towards the end of Feb, early March, and then I flew off to Andamans for this course. And this is booked way in advance. It was booked in January. And I had no prior knowledge of what it was going to be like, and what am I going to encounter? I did no research. I wasn't even in my best physical shape. I did do a 10K in February, but it wasn't my best time, and I was struggling. And since then, like I said, I've been on the road. There's not much exercise you get, so my my fitness levels weren't optimal. So I didn't know what to expect. And yeah, it was one of those things. Like you need to experience it. And I did not want to just be a walk-in where they teach you the basics of scuba. They put you on a suit. They take you to whatever depth, 10 meters, 8 meters, whatever, and they take a picture for the gram, and that's it, you're done. Because a lot of people did that. I mean, every day they were walk-ins in that dive institute. I wanted to do it properly, because only then do you get all the juice, all the flavor out of the experience. And I think that's the right way to do it. But again, people have time constraints. They have all kinds of constraints. And then it's a 5-day course, or that's what my course was. Other people managed to do it quicker. They went for 2 dives in a day. I think they finished it up in 3 days or 4 days. It depends. But mine was a 5-day course. And so, yeah, let's get into it. And the first day itself, they teach you the basics of your suit, because one thing it's they always teach you, even at sea they teach you this stuff. Like if you're wearing safety equipment, you're the one who's supposed to test it out, because you're responsible for your own safety. No one's gonna do it for you, so it's up to you to know what to check in your equipment and how to handle it. So they teach you how to mount your BCD, your buoyancy control device, onto your cylinder, and what checks to do on the cylinder, the O-ring, the smell test, and the date when it was last checked. Then you mount your BCD and you connect your hoses onto it, your first stage and your regulators and all of that. Check for leaks, check your pressures, check the flow of air, all of that. And these are all preliminary checks which you have to do before every single dive. And basically this was explained to me on day one, and they pretty much left it to me to do my own checks for the subsequent dives. And I think I got there it was a long flight. I flew, the mistake I'd made was I'd booked my tickets to Andamans from Delhi without realizing I'll be in Pune by the time the date arrives. So I had to book another flight from Pune because the cancellation charges were crazy. And surprisingly, the flights from Pune to Andamans were crazy. I was getting like a 12-hour layover in Calcutta, or a 14-hour layover in Chennai, some random weird flights, and I hate that. I don't want to do that. So I figured I'll just fly to Delhi and then fly to Calcutta and then to Andaman. So that's what I did. So it was a long flight. I got there at, I don't know, noon. Around noon I got there, and they said get some rest, and we start in the evening. And I was like, oh damn, okay, here we go. But yeah, okay, luckily the first day was just a briefing. They told me, they sent me a Google Drive link for a lot of videos, and they said, do your homework. This is a questionnaire. Go through the first 3 videos and just be aware of what's going to happen tomorrow. So I did that and sat down in my room after the briefing, and I went through the study material. And one thing really stood out in one of those videos. It said, you always remember your first breath underwater. And I was like, will I really? I don't know. But okay, let's see. So the next day I got a call at, my call time was 8:30. I had like a light breakfast, and then I saw the instructor at the dive site. Kitted up, donned my suit and went into the water. Just wasty water, and this was just the first, exercise just to get used to breathing underwater. Because if you've not done it, it's an alien experience. And just a little bit of a background, I'm not that good of a swimmer either. Like, the last time I was in a pool was 10 years ago. The last time I swam proper lengths was back in college, which was, I don't know, 15 years ago. That was a long, long time ago. And since then, I've just not had the chance to go in water or the inclination because I was doing other things. So it was a very, very alien feeling to me. So you put on your BS set, your scuba set, sorry, I should say. You put on your weight belt, and then you put your respirator in your mouth, you start breathing, and the instructor says, okay, just go down on your knees and just breathe. And it's waist deep water, so even if something happens, you can just stand. But I went down on my knees, the water came, like, went over my head, and immediately your instinct says, okay, I should not be able to breathe here. This is weird. This should not be happening. But then you draw that first breath, and you can feel your brain, you know, getting confused, like, how is this happening? Like, you know what's happening, but your body, your instincts, they're in conflict, where they're like, what's happening? And then you start breathing heavily, like, this is not, this is not something I'm familiar with. How is this happening? And your body, you tend to lose control a bit. But after some time, you start breathing, you get the hang of things, and you're like, oh, okay, this is actually possible. It can be done. And it's such a rewiring job. And I kept using the word rewiring for anyone who asked me, what was it like? People back home who were asking me. I said, it's such a rewiring job because you have to tell your brain that, okay, this is possible. It can be done despite your instincts kicking in that you cannot breathe underwater and save yourself. Because let's say, okay, if you have some swimming experience, you've gone to the beach, you've gone kayaking, maybe every time you've breathed in some water or gulped some water, seawater, your instinct is immediately to, you know, cuff it out or spit it out or just get back to breathing normally. So this time when you're underwater, like all the way, and then you're breathing, it's weird. But then you feel it, and then you settle down into it, and then you're fine. And then you're like, okay, this is actually good. And you obviously have those goggles on, which also cover your nose. And then suddenly you can like see underwater. Like, I've never had done that either, because never had the need to, I guess. So that was day one. Then on day one itself, we got to do more drills as well, which was stuff like what happens if you lose your respirator underwater, you know, the sweeping action. You sweep your right arm, touch the bottle, sweep up, catch hold of your black line, and then you start breathing and you cough out the water that you inhaled, basically. Other than that, removing and wearing your scuba set underwater. Removing your goggles underwater, breathing through your mouth and not pinching your nose, getting used to that. I did all that pretty well. That all went well. And I was quite okay with it. Till the instructor said, okay, leave your scuba set, go back, drop everything, and then let's go snorkeling for a little bit. So I said, yeah, okay, snorkeling is fine, let's do that. So I dropped my BS set. Went snorkeling with the instructor, and then that bit is something that I did not enjoy. I couldn't swim. I can barely float. And then I ended up going deeper than my tube would allow. Then all this water just came gushing into my mouth. And then I would try to surface, but I couldn't because I was coughing, and then I kept going down. And luckily the instructor had a life buoy, but I was just running towards it. And then he saw it. He realized I'm not entirely comfortable. And then he kept swimming away from me. He's like, no, you got to figure it out. Kick your fins. And like, he taught me, obviously he had taught me how to cough out the water, which is in your tube. But again, it took some time. And that is the bit which I really did not enjoy. I drank a lot of seawater that day. It was not fun. But did about half an hour of snorkeling, and I remember going back home, to my hotel room, and I was thinking, Yeah, that was not fun. That was not fun. You know how it's you start doing something and you realize maybe this isn't for me. I'm not enjoying this. That's where my head was at. So even when I met some great people there, even if I was hanging with them in the evening, I was not entirely in my element because I didn't know what to do. You know, honestly, I was thinking, you know, it doesn't matter if I don't get certified. I should just do a couple of dives, be okay, because it doesn't look like I can. Also, there's a swim test, which they make you swim 200 meters. I was like, I'm in no physical shape to swim 200 meters based on what happened today. And yeah, towards the end of the first day, I'm like, I'm not enjoying this. I'm just gonna do my basic dives, get the hang of it, and just bail because I'm probably not gonna dive again, is where my head was at. Then comes the second day, and this time they take you deeper towards the deeper end of the ocean, of the coast, basically. They go further deeper. And this is where they say you're gonna test everything you learned yesterday. We're gonna redo all the drills. We're gonna go a little bit deeper. We're actually gonna move this time underwater, use your fins and stuff. And we see how it goes. So I got my weight belt on, got my BS set on, got everything going. We swam, paddled essentially towards the deeper end, and inflated our BCDs, buoyancy control device, and floated for a bit. And then I received instructions from the instructor, and he said, "All right, let's go down." And we did. And surprisingly, after getting comfortable with water yesterday, all of yesterday, instant panic, instant panic. It wasn't even like anything went wrong. My goggles is filled with water. And obviously your nose is in your goggles. So essentially your nose is underwater. And I panicked. I straight away, they shouldn't have taught me how to inflate the BCD with the red button. I just pressed and pressed that red button and I just went surfaced. And the instructor went, "Well, what happened?" He's like, I didn't know what to say because there was no excuse for what I did. I said, "No, I'm just panicking." So he said, "All right, take a breath. Just calm down. It's all right." So I removed all the water, kitted up again, drained my BCD, again went into the water, and I believe I panicked a second time as well. Something else happened, I don't know what, and then I again surfaced. And this time I was getting angry. I'm like, this is not fun. This is so annoying. Why am I doing this? But I said, you know what? I'm here. I flew all this way. I can't chicken out now. Might as well give it a proper shot, even if it feels uncomfortable. Let's just do it and see where it goes. Let's just see what happens. And then again, I deflated my BCD, got my respirator in, and then I just went there. And this is where everything changed. The instructor said, "Don't do anything. It's not that deep. It's just 5 meters or 8 meters or something. Just kneel on the seabed and just breathe. That's it. Just breathe. Don't do anything. Even if you want, just close your eyes. It doesn't matter." So I did that. And that's where things changed. I think I was on my knees and on the seabed underwater, breathing for like 5 to 10 minutes. I lost track of time. All I did was I just took deep breaths and that's it. And that kind of calmed me down a bit. And after I was calm, the instructor came back and he said, "Okay, let's swim a bit. Let's look around." So obviously he didn't say it, we're underwater, and then he just said, "Follow me." And he said, he made the use your flippers sign with his index and middle finger. And off he went. I followed him. And that's where things changed. That's where we encountered some fish. We encountered some shrimp. Shrimp wasn't, or some crabs, I can't tell. I was too busy focusing on his Bob Marley shorts, and I was like, I need to follow this guy. That's all I need to do. And we saw some coral, we saw a lot of fish, and then it suddenly became pleasant. I'm like, okay, this is not bad. And I think after 45 minutes or something that we logged, we surfaced. I had barely any pressure left. I think I had 45, 50 bar in my bottle, which is not enough, which is it's already in the red zone. You have to bail at that point. And then we swam back, cleaned all the equipment, and just went back. And that day, I remember feeling okay. This is not so bad. This is all right. I think the third day we went back to the same site a little bit deeper. I think I'm mixing it up a bit. The other thing which is very interesting to find out was the community as a whole, the diving community is a lot nicer compared to, let's say, the runners community or whatever, because I think the runner community is a bit competitive. You know, it's like, oh, I did this, you are at this level, I can help you, but this is what you need to do to get up to my level. Whereas in the diver community, we all, after everybody would finish their dive, we would just come back and we would talk about the dive. Or it was a case where somebody is about to go for a dive or somebody has just come back from a dive, we would talk to them and get their experience of what their dive was like. So I was a newbie. People ahead of me had already started their advanced courses there. A guy there was already on his fourth dive, planning to go for an advanced course as well. There was a guy who had done dives in Spain and God knows where else. So he was well ahead of all of us. So I was just listening to all of these people talk and taking in their advice. So when I told them towards the end of second day, where I said, I'm not enjoying this, I don't know if I don't even care if I get certified, and I said that out loud, they were very supportive and they said, bro, we were exactly where you were after two dives and it does not feel good, but just stick with it. It will change, it will turn. And I'm glad I took that advice because I was completely in a mood to go talk to the trainer and say, you know what, I don't care about getting certified. I just want to finish my dives and just, get out of here. But it's a good thing that I listened to them. And we all sat and we talked. We had meals. We all talked about diving for hours and hours. And it was a good community to be a part of. I quite like that. And it felt different, it's different. So yeah, I guess. Anyway. So my third dive, we went a little bit deeper to a place called Oval Reef in Andamans, near Havelock Islands. And this time, so as you go further, the number of drills reduce. It's just now it's more about the dive experience. It's less about training. It's more about diving. It's about getting experience to be underwater. This is the first time I think we took a boat to the dive site, and I wore the kit and everything. And in all the videos, they had said you do like a you jump off the boat and you land on your feet. But this time, out of the blue, the instructor said, could do a back dive, which was something I was not prepared for. And I had just barely started to get comfortable with this setup, but I said, fine, let's try it. Put on my kit, put on my flippers, put the respirator in, held on to my goggles, and I just leapt backwards and I fell. And I remember that feeling. I was falling for what felt like hours. I kid you not. And then I had my eyes open and I saw just like the boat turn into the mangroves, turn into the sky, and then the water just sort of came over me. And it was such a beautiful feeling. And by then, all the panic was gone. There was no panic at all. If you remember, I kept telling myself, don't panic. Remember your training. Remember your training. Remember your training. You'll figure it out. Even if you lose your respirator, even if you lose air, even if your respirator stops working, you know what to do. You know what to do. Keep remembering. Remember your training. And I think that's what stuck with me all this while. So there were other people with me that day. I think there were four of us who took a dive. Four or three of us. I can't remember now. It's all a blur. Yeah. I was asked to get settled and then move towards the forward of the ship, forward of the port, where there was like a guide rope, sort of an anchor, just leading underwater. And he said, just hold on to this rope and stick around, which is what I did. And immediately you could see so many fish, so many colors, so many fish. The sun was up by then. It was bright. It was just amazing. And the fish, I think they're just like curious creatures. It's so amazing to be around them. And the instructor dove in, and then he said, "We're just gonna just follow me. We're just gonna take a dive. And at some point when we reach, we're gonna do the respirator retrieval drill again one more time." So I said, "That's fine," because by then I was comfortable with it. So we dove and we went deeper. This time, I think that day we hit about 12 to 13 meters underwater, and the water wasn't very clear, but it wasn't completely opaque either. It was good. We had about 8 to 10 meters visibility, and there was a lot of underwater current that day. I remember for like moments we were just drifting, and all I was doing was staying away from the coral. I didn't want to like get scratched and cut underwater, so that's all I was doing. And the current was carrying me, and I was just following my instructor. And then we reached a point where, again, I was on my knees on the floor, 12 meters deep, and he said, let's do the respiratory retrieval exercise. We did that. Then we did the emergency buddy assist. You know, if your buddy loses his air and it doesn't work and gives you the signal, you're supposed to give him your emergency line, your yellow line, and then he starts breathing and then you both ascend. We did that drill. It went well. And I think it's the repetition of these drills which made me more comfortable, where I'm like, even if something does go wrong and I'm all the way down, there are things you can do and there are methods you need to remember so as to take care of yourself. And then that went really well. And this is where things were turning. And I was like, based on what I had seen that morning, there was a point, okay, I had surfaced, or I was at 5 meters doing my decompression, where a school of fish, and there were hundreds of them, they just did a whole loop around me and they went away. And I was like, that was brilliant. I had no camera, I had nothing, I couldn't record it, but it was just amazing. And I mean, these things, they stay with you, you know, the mental image. There's a point where I was all the way down and I looked up and I could see the boat. It was so high up and I could see the rays of the sun coming in, and there was just fish, the shadows of the fish all everywhere you looked. Beautiful. And that's going to stay with me, you know, that mental image has stuck. And I thought, great, this is amazing. Till the day I hit my fourth dive, which is my last dive, my last training dive. And we didn't go to Oval Reef this time. We went to a place called the Lighthouse, also near Havelock Beach. And this time I was supposed to dive with one other guy, a friend, and then he developed a sinus problem. He had a blocked nose. He was complaining about having a headache underwater for the last couple of days. So he didn't turn up. It was just me on that day. Everybody else had finished their courses. They had left, taken their flights back home, gone wherever they came from. And it was just me. It was me, the instructor Rohan, and the boat operator. And we head towards Lighthouse. And then we got really close to the island and really close. And I'm like, what? That's so close. How are we gonna get the depth we want? Then I stood up and I looked down and I could see the seabed from there all the way down. And I was like, oh, damn. So essentially, this thing rises at a very steep angle from the seabed, like a mountain. It almost rises up. And it's pristine clear water. There was no current. The sun had just risen. Perfectly still, no sound whatsoever. It was beautiful. And this time they mixed it up again. They said, go into the water without any kit. And I said, fine. And again, I jumped into the water. I was holding onto the rope. And he kept saying, no, let go of the rope. Let go of the rope. Let go of the boat. And I couldn't float. I didn't know how. So somehow I managed. And he inflated my kit. And he threw it in the water. He said, okay, go retrieve it. Wear it. I swam and I swam and I swam and I swam and I finally got it and I wore it and I was like, okay, now I can, now this is familiar territory. And then he came in and then he said, okay, same, we're going to do the same dive. We're going to do the respirator retrieval again one more time. And today we're going to do a mask removal. You're basically underwater and you remove your mask. You can't pinch your nose. Stay like that for a minute. I'll give you a signal. You wear your mask again and then you clear your mask. I said, fine. And a day prior to that, somebody had spoken about this exact same thing. And he told me how he panicked really badly when you remove your mask, because it's a lot of pressure and your nose is just open now. It's exposed. So, you know, water can rush in, I guess. So I was wary of that. But anyway, and then the dive starts. And then we follow the anchor rope all the way down. And it's pristine, clear water. I have not seen this water this clear at all. And my first thought was, damn, I forgot my GoPro. It's sitting at home. And even the instructor didn't have his GoPro, so we got no pictures that day. But, oh man, it was so beautiful. The clarity was amazing. The water was still. There were so many fish, coral everywhere. And we just kept swimming. We kept going deeper and deeper. I think that day we hit 15.8 meters. And again, it was just amazing. It was around that time, because all along I was just following the instructor and I wasn't like, I would just look left and right. That day for the first time, I think I stopped and I turned around and I looked everywhere and I just stopped because I could see where my instructor was. I wouldn't lose him. The water wasn't murky. So I said, even if I stop for a second or two, it's not going to be problematic. I will catch up to him. And then I looked around for the first time and then it really dawned on me where exactly I am. I got like a 3D model of where I am and I'm underwater and this is what's around me. And this is like, I was aware of where I was for the first time. It just felt real. And it was beautiful. It's just everywhere you looked, it was just bursting with life. There were starfish everywhere. A lot of different colored fish, different kinds of fish. I didn't know where to look. And I think that was the time where I forgot that I was underwater. And it was just like I'm on a different planet, because these are scenes. Yes, you see this on TV, but when you see it for yourself, it's just amazing. And it's that memory is just etched in my mind. And I'm like, the other thing which got etched on my mind was the amount of dead coral I saw. There's so much dead coral. Like, I was at the bottom of this hill, basically, where it, you know, from where the island rises up. And I looked up, I remember looking up, and I could see all the way up to the waterline. And it was just, the entire mountainside was full of dead coral. Just skeleton coral, and just dead. Death everywhere you looked. And even the coral which was intact was bleaching. You know, the tips were white. And I could see it. And then, you know, you hear these things in the news, you know, coral bleaching. And you're like, yeah, you know, whatever. Something's happening in some corner of the world. I don't know. But I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. Yes, the coral are bleaching. Yes, they're dying. There was hardly any intact coral left. Very few. But the amount of coral carcass that I saw was really upsetting. It was really, really upsetting. And I think we need... I don't know, that's a whole other topic, but anyway. So we hit the bottom, and then we did the exercises again. Respirator retrieval, did that, and then the goggles. Took him off, instantly everything went blurry. But I was surprisingly calm, because the trouble was, all day, every single dive, my goggles kept filling up with water, and I don't know why. So essentially, my nose was underwater the entire time, and I didn't breathe in water. So I was kind of, let's say, used to it. So I took off my goggles, everything went blurry, and I just kept breathing for a minute. And then I couldn't see where my instructor was, and I could just see his hand moving, or so he was doing something with his hand. And I figured, okay, that's probably the signal to wear it back on again. So I put it back on, cleared my mask, and everything was fine. And then this other moment stuck with me, where he signaled... I think I had about 60 bar air left, and he signaled that I should surface, and he's going to go, untangle the boat's anchor. So I went all the way up, did my decompression, reached the last step, and it was just silence. There was no sound. The water was calm. There was nothing. Nothing was moving. And I remember I stood there on the last step, just listening to the silence and nothing else. It was beautiful. I got onto the boat, and I don't know why this, I just got emotional. It just something just came over me. Whether it was all the dead coral, whether it was the silence or the beauty of everything that I just witnessed, I just got a bit emotional, and I was like, oh my God, this is something else. This is something else. I don't know. But again, that moment was short-lived. The instructor came back up again, and he said, all right, let's do your swim test. And I was like, God damn it, what am I going to do? A little bit of a backstory. The day before, I was looking up things on YouTube, how to float in seawater with minimal effort. And I found the best technique. It said, just lie on your back, paddle gently with your feet, keep your body straight. The minute you bend at your waist, you're going to start sinking. So keep your body straight and just keep making like an infinity symbol with your hands, both your hands, and just lightly kick your feet and you will just float. So the good thing I did was, the day before, even though the water had receded a lot, I had just about like thigh deep water. I practiced floating for half an hour, and I figured, okay, this technique works. I'm going to use it. And then I learned how to flip over from your floating to your swimming, freestyle swimming position, basically. So he said, okay, start swimming. So I got out of my wetsuit into my trunks, and I said, can I swim towards the shore? Because in case something goes wrong, I'll not die. He's like, no, that's very shallow. Just head towards that boat. And that boat was towards the middle of the ocean. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Anyway, jumped back into the water, holding onto the boat rope. And he was not happy with that. I was holding onto the boat rope. He's like, no. And he's like, okay, start swimming. Another good thing, which I knew, was from my friend. He told me, I started swimming, and I kept going, and eventually the boat came and picked me up. So I knew I'm going to start swimming and the boat is going to pick me up, because had I felt that I have to swim back, I probably would have panicked. So that was a good bit of information to have, and I just stayed calm. I started swimming till I could, hold on, till I was like I could handle my breath essentially. And then I flipped over, praying against all, praying to all the gods, please let me float, let me float. And then I turned and I was floating and I was like, oh, thank God, please, thank God. Stayed there for a bit, caught my breath, started swimming again. Kept looking up, the boat wasn't moving, and I'm like, I'm probably not far enough. Swam some more, floated some more, swam some more, floated some more. And then I kind of got comfortable with it. And I knew the water below me was a lot deeper. It didn't faze me. It just didn't. I just knew what to do. I could feel my left hamstring get a bit tight, but I just kept it easy. And I wasn't putting in a lot of effort either. And then finally, I heard the boat engine kick on. And, it came to me and it picked me up, and the first thing I asked was, have I passed? He's like, yeah, you've passed. You know how to swim. It's all good. It's just muscle memory. If you know how to swim, it'll come back to you. There's no problem. So I passed. And, here's a lesson I learned about after doing this whole course. All along my life, I've been of the opinion that if you have a problem, you meet it with aggression and grit, brute force, attack the problem head on, and it's going to just, you're going to work it out. You're going to go through it. You're going to figure it out. But this time was different. Brute force didn't work in water. It just didn't. Turns out I had to do the opposite. I had to stay calm. I had to just focus on breathing. I had to do less to survive. The more I kicked around, the more I panicked, the more I used my force, the more I wore myself down, the harder it was. And in thermodynamics, you call a system like an ocean, it's called a sink. It can absorb any amount of energy and it's not the sum total of the energy of the entire ocean is not going to change. So that's what it was. You can kick around, you can do whatever. The ocean is just going to absorb it. So brute force and grit and, all these things, that I was following, none of that worked. And turns out I had to do the opposite. I had to calm down. I had to breathe. I had to do little to survive. And the ocean just supported me. So that was such a lesson to be learned. And the other thing was, you're told to trust your instincts. Whereas on day one and day two, my instincts told me that I'm going to die. Whereas I was totally fine. My panic was induced by my instincts. But my instincts were wrong. I was totally fine. There was no reason for me to panic. So, yeah. But then again, I've recalibrated my instincts. And now my instincts know that it's fine underwater. So, yeah. It's the unfamiliar situations you're in where your instincts tell you, no, 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 this is not right. This is not right. But once you go through it, once you learn, once you teach yourself, you recalibrate your instincts. And then you're fine after that. Then you've broadened your horizons a bit. But yeah, biggest lesson learned. That grit, brute force are not always the go-to move when it comes to handling problems. And yeah. So anyway, after the fourth dive, we all went back in silence. Went back, cleaned my kit, took a long, long shower, and then I came back. And then I gave the written exam, which was fine, cleared it. Took a few pictures, and then next thing you know, I'm a certified open water diver. There are obviously courses you can do above this. There's an advanced open water diver. Then it goes up and up till the point you become a professional rescue diver. It goes, there's a whole hierarchy. But we're just going to focus on how to get started. That's the title of this episode. That being said, it was such a roller coaster, and it's such a learning experience, I didn't know what I was going to expect. I didn't know what it was going to be like. We've seen so many people look up dating apps. The number of people who have put pictures underwater. And I'm guessing most of them have just done the day trip. Like you visit, they teach you how to work it. And then they don't do the drills and stuff. Probably do the drills and stuff, I guess. But that's it. They put you underwater. You swim a little bit. You take a few pictures for the gram. And then you're good to go. But that's it. But this was such a roller coaster, man. And I remember I used to wake up in the early days, I used to wake up every day and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to put myself through that again. But yeah, in the end, it was worth it. It's absolutely worth it. Sometimes you have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations to come out a wiser man on the other side. That's all I can say. That being said, much, much love and appreciation to Gypsy Divers in Havelock Island. I do recommend that you look them up. If you plan your dive for the, if you're a new diver, fresh person, you want to just experience it for, you know, it's your first time, basically, like mine was. Visit Gypsy Divers, the beautiful bunch of people, great instructors, a good place to live even. Yeah, oh, I quite like the rooms. It was fantastic. And good number of people, all kinds of people end up there, solo travelers, group travelers, whatever. And I ended up meeting a really good bunch of people, had a really good time hanging out with them. And yeah, I think I've made memories which will last me a lifetime. I'm so happy I did this. And thanks a lot to Gypsy Divers. Anyway, so this is the end of the episode. I hope you liked it. If you have a few questions, if you want to ask us a few questions, you can always hit us up. Two Bros Podcast, just search for us on Instagram. We're right there. Give us a question, give us a like, give us a share, do whatever, show us some love. If you have some more questions, you want to get in touch, we also have a website, not very active, twobrospodcast.wordpress.com. Hit us up there, not a problem. And if you have some subsequent questions, I can answer them for you on the app, or I can make another episode. That's up to you. If you want to be on the episode and talk about something you've experienced, something that, talk about your life, for instance, we always love to have guests on the show. We love it. Absolutely love it. Do hit us up. We'll set something up. It's going to be absolutely fun. Anyway, this was Getting Started with Deep Sea Diving or Open Water Diving. I hope you liked it, and I will see you on the next episode. See ya.